Our brother Garth Wilson from our Oma congregation, now in his third year, has been given the opportunity and privilege to preach this morning God's message. I trust that the Lord will help him and that God will help us as we hear him and that we'll obey what the Lord says to us through our brother this morning.
Thank you, David. Can I ask you please to keep your Bibles open at Hebrews chapter 12? It is the opening three verses, the last three verses that our brother John read for us, that we want to consider by the help of God this morning. It is enough, Lord. I've had enough of this living the Christian life. I'm weary and I'm tired. I'm exhausted and I feel I can't go on. Those were the sentiments of the great man of God, the great prophet Elijah. The man who a short time before he uttered that well-known phrase, "I have enough," saw fire from heaven descend upon the burnt offering. He saw the people fall to the ground in amazement at the mighty power of God. He saw the prophets of Baal put to flight. He saw the heavens opened and the rain come down upon the land. But now he's sitting in a valley of despair. Now he's sitting exhausted and weary and worn under a juniper tree. He's worn out by the journey of life and he's ready to give up. And yet the experience of Elijah is not unique. Because throughout the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, there have been many. Many who have experienced the same spirit of weariness and tiredness in their Christian life. And of course, it's still true today. How many of us as God's people have come to that place, to a greater degree or other, a place of weariness. In that place of tiredness, that place of fatigue in our living for God. Weariness in the Christian life is not just a possibility, but it is a reality. And the Apostle Paul writes at the end of verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12 and gives the warning, "Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." He gives a warning about weariness because that was a reality and that is a reality amongst the people of God. Maybe today you've come to the house of God and you're weary. You're spiritually tired. You've grown weary in your Christian living. The zeal for God that you once had is no longer there. The joy when you walk through the doors of this church is no longer there. All is a drudgery and a drain upon you. And you're at that stage of fainting spiritually. Throwing in the towel. Well, praise God, today there is a solution. Thank God today that just as he gave the prophet Elijah instruction in his period of despair, so God gives us instruction today in our periods of weariness and tiredness as we seek to live for God. Remember that when Paul wrote this letter to the Hebrew Christians, he was writing to them at a time of great persecution. They were under great pressure in their Christian life, under pressure to turn from God and turn from their faith and turn back to Judaism. And under such pressure, there was the great possibility of growing weary. But here in these three verses of Hebrews chapter 12, there's a cure. There's a remedy. Thank God, praise God, there's an antidote for weariness. A prescription given to us by the great physician himself. Therefore, as we come to these opening verses of Hebrews chapter 12, I want us to consider what I've entitled the antidote for weariness. the antidote for weariness. The first thing we see here in verse 1 is that we are to renew our affections to the Lord. Renew our affections to the Lord. We're commanded in Scripture, over there in Deuteronomy 6 and the verse 5, to love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy might. Every fibre of our being is to be taken up with love for God. Yet how often we fall short of that mark, this preacher included. How often we allow other things to creep into our lives and take the place of God. Matters which in and of themselves are not sinful. But those things that we have allowed to crowd out God, well, we must renew our affections to the Lord. Put Him first again in our lives. Verse 1 of this chapter is really a call to personal holiness. A call to live for God and a call to love God. As we consider this renewal of our affections, I want you to see the exhortation here. In verse 1, there's a command. There's something that we are exhorted to do as the people of God. What is it? To lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. To lay aside, it means to cast it off, to put it from us. And what is that we are to cast from us? It's weights, it's sins. It's those things that we love more than we love God. Those things that hinder our walk with Jesus Christ. The original meaning of that word weight is very interesting. Because it means a tumor. It means a swelling. Something which eats away and grinds at our strength. Just as a physical growth. Just as a physical tumor will erode our energy and make us become weary, so too in the spiritual realm. All those growths of sin that we allow in our lives, if they're not removed, they will zap our spiritual energy and make us weary in the Christian life. As we examine our lives, as I have to examine my life, and as I this week have examined my life, there are so many weights. There are so many besetting sins that at times we allow to grow unchecked. Let me suggest to you just a few. There's the weight, the sin of prayerlessness. We feel that we can go on in the Christian life living for God in our own strength. We become self-sufficient. We feel we don't need to face God, come to God in prayer. We can get through the situation in our own strength, yet the reality is so different. We feel to pray, we feel to plead for His help. And we do grow weary in our Christian life. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 and the verse 1. Before He spoke about that parable on prayer, what did He say? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. There's the inference in that thought that if we don't pray, we will faint. I love those verses over in Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 30 and 31, it says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But, oh, praise God for the buts of Scripture. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You feel like fainting today spiritually. Oh, can I urge you, get on your knees, get on our knees before God and ask for His help. I'm no doctor, I'm no nurse. I know that if I've got a sore head, I take a tablet and hope that it goes away. But I am told by those who know, and if there are any nurses in here today, they can correct me. If you feel like fainting physically, first thing you should do is get to your knees. And when we feel like fainting spiritually, may the first thing we do, not the last thing, the first thing we do, get to our knees in God in prayer. There's the weight of carelessness. Careless about our attendance in the house of God, about the place of prayer, in our private times with God. Well, we need to renew our affections to the Lord, remove that barrier. Whatever it is that's keeping us back from loving God as we ought. There's the weight of faithlessness. We don't trust God as much as we should. There are times of difficulty and sorrow in our life. In those times of trial, in those times when our life is turned upside down, all the time the Lord is saying to us, trust me. Just trust me. There's also the weight of worldliness. Those things that we love more in this world than we do God. And Paul exhorts us to cast them off. Oh, I know we'll never be sinlessly perfect this side of eternity. But yet we are exhorted in this verse and in many others to live as close to God as it's possible for us to do. To lay aside those sins. To mortify, to put to death those things which are a drag on our Christian life. Not only the exhortation, but I want you to see the exertion here in verse 1. Because once we've laid aside the weights, then we can, as the verse ends, run with patience the race that is set before us. To run a race gives the idea of exertion, the idea of activity. The word race here is where we actually get our word, English word agony from. It implies pain, but it also implies effort. And in the light of what we've been thinking in the previous part of the verse, there's effort involved as we struggle and as we get over sin in our lives. But yet as we do, and as we gain the victory, we grow in grace, we abound more and more in the things of God. We run forward not simply with speed, but also with self-discipline. How is this race to be run? It's to be run with patience. Not giving up. Run with endurance. Oh, may we today run the Christian life with this required endurance and patience. And not give up. There's also the encouragement here in verse 1. Because we have the great encouragement of those who have gone before us. The opening words of the verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The reference is back to chapter 11. In that great hall of faith. All those men and women who lived their lives by faith and how practical it was. Noah built the ark by faith. Moses crossed the Red Sea by faith. Abraham left his homeland and offered up Isaac by faith. Yet they were just mere mortals like you and I. They struggled with the same things that we struggle with. Yet we are to take our encouragement from them as they lived their life of faith. They overcame, they persevered. Renew our affections to the Lord. Love Him more. The old catechism says, die more and more unto sin, and live more and more unto righteousness. But there's also something more that we can do to overcome this weariness, not only to renew our affections, but also refocus our attention on the Lord. Refocus our attention on the Lord. Verse 2. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because you see, having laid those weights aside, Having laid aside those things that would drag us down in our walk of faith, we're exhorted now to refocus our attention on the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Looking unto Jesus. That word looking there, it means to turn our gaze away from where it presently is and turn our eyes to where it should be. On the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to turn our focus off those things that would distress and distract us and discourage us. And turn our focus to Christ. Oh, I know it's easy to become focused on the situations that we find ourselves in. And it's easy, like Peter, to see the storms in our life and not to see the Savior. This is something that we must do. Oh yes, all those and we have listed in Hebrew, or that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. They're encouragement to us, but that's not where our focus is to be. The Holy Spirit is telling us now to get our eyes off man and get our eyes on Christ. It's noteworthy that the name Jesus is used there. That's His earthly title. As a man. Perfect man, but yet a real man. He knew what it was to grow weary in his life of faith as he walked upon this earth. And so we can relate to that as well. Notice some things that we are to focus upon here. Focus on His person. The author and the finisher of our faith. That word author there, it refers not merely to the fact that He created faith in us, but more that He is the captain of our salvation. He is the one who's going ahead of us. He's the one who goes in front. He leads from the top. We're to look to Him. But how, by focusing our attention on Christ, can He remove that spirit of weariness? When you think of His total and absolute dependence on God, His Father, as He lived upon this earth. He lived a life of perfect willingness and total dependence upon His Father. During the times of temptation, He depended wholly and solely upon God. Of course, we know it was not possible for Him to sin. Yet by rebuking the devil and saying that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. He was depending totally on the Lord, even during times of temptation and weariness. He lived a life of constant fellowship, of unbroken and unclouded fellowship with the Lord. What a testimony. What a standard for us to strive to. And yet so often we can become weary in our Christian life because of that broken fellowship with God. Oh, let's get back to where we should be. Let's focus our attention on Christ. The source of our faith, the sustainer of our faith, the finisher of our faith. Get our eyes off the things of this world and get them in Christ. Focus not only His person but also on His pleasure. Look at verse 2. Who for the joy that was set before Him. Who for the joy that was set before Him. He took pleasure in doing the Father's will. It was a joy to Him, but in another sense He took joy and He took pleasure in anticipation of all that was ahead of Him. What was that? That one day He'd return back to His Father in heaven. And He took joy in that. He knew that He would redeem His people from sin. He knew that He would march out of the grave in the power of His own resurrection. And He knew that one day He would be with His Father once again. That was His joy. Oh, child of God, today God has given to us a wonderful redemption. We've pardoned from sin, we've peace with God.
that there awaits for us a greater prize. That where Jesus Christ is, we too one day will be. Sometimes in the storms of life, in the struggles of life, we can't see it. I was talking to one of our men in our church in Omagh, who was running the Belfast Marathon a few weeks ago. And he told me that as he was training for it, they were always told, when you get this going hard, and you're going up a hill, and you feel you can't get up it, always remember the finish line. Always remember that it's not always going to be like this, but there's an end in sight. Child of God, today we have a prize before us. Lord Jesus Christ says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. One day we'll be with Christ. And that's our prize. Florence Chadwick, the first lady to swim the English Channel, set out to swim the distance between the Catalina Island and the Pacific Ocean and the mainland of California. It was quite a distance. And as she set out to swim that expanse of water, it was a lovely clear day. But the further she went out, the more the cloud and the fog started to come down. And she'd been swimming now for 15 hours and she was totally drained. And the fog was so dense that she couldn't see where she was going. And to the little boat, the people in the little boat that were alongside her, she said to them, you'll have to pull me out because I can't go anymore. I can't do this. They encouraged her to stay in. But she says, no, I want to get out. So they pulled her out of the water and pulled her into the boat. And the first question she asked, she says, how close was I to the shore? And they said, you're only half a mile from the shore. And she said, all I could see was fog. If I could see the shore, I would have made it. So many things in our lives create a fog. And we can't see the way ahead. We end up focusing on the fog and we can't see the shore. We feel like giving up. Well, may God enable us to see our Savior today. And see the prize that awaits for us. We're safe. We're secure in Jesus Christ today. And we'll never be lost. We're as sure of heaven as if we were there. May that thought thrill our hearts today. May that thought encourage you today as you go on in your Christian life. Focus also on his patience here. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. Surely at the cross we see the great epitome of Christ's patience. He bore the cross. He despised the shame. We're called to take up our cross in this world of sin. But how do we endure when the going gets tough? Where do we find strength for the task as we seek to bear our cross for him? It's by looking to Jesus. Focus also on his position. The end of verse 2. Set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Supplying our every need. Ruling, reigning, defending us. Praying for us. Praying for us. As our great high priest. We feel like falling. He presents himself before the throne of God the Father. He prays for us. That our faith fail not. You know, it's lovely whenever we are going through difficult times. And somebody comes and put their hand on your shoulder and they say, we're praying for you. But how sweeter it is to the child of God to know that Christ prays for us continually, all the time.
He's the captain of our salvation. He's also the one who completes our salvation. What is it that we need today? What is it that I need today? It's a fresh glimpse of Jesus Christ. It's a fresh view of Him. Where can I see it? By taking the Word of God and praying, Lord, reveal Yourself to me. I need to see Thee. Search the Scriptures, John tells us, for they are they which testify of me. See within its pages the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, not only to renew our affections to the Lord, not only to refocus our attention on the Lord, come to verse 3, we are to remember the afflictions of the Lord. See, as believers, we have to endure many afflictions, physical, mental, emotional. And I do not for one moment, do I take away from anybody's pain or hurt that you're going through right now. But none has ever been afflicted like the Lord Jesus Christ. Every pain that we've had to suffer, He's had to suffer it, yet to a far greater degree. In every part tempted like as we are. Verse 3 tells us to consider Him. It means to reckon up. To weigh up by comparison. To call to our remembrance. Or to consider as shame. We've already briefly looked at it. Those who mocked Him. Those who blasphemed Him. Those who set their hearts at every opportunity to hinder Him. Those when He hung upon the cross, reeled upon Him, spat upon Him. Yet He endured it all in order to save your soul and mind from sin. These Hebrew Christians had to put up with the shame of this world as they followed Christ. The instruction the Holy Spirit gives is that we are not to be ashamed of Him because He wasn't ashamed of us. Consider His suffering. He suffered all His life. But again, that suffering reached such a crescendo at the cross. Vinegar to drink. Hair plucked from His face. Thorns pierced into His lovely brow. His face unrecognizable. And yet when God the Father stepped in and made Him sin for us, He bore suffering unimaginable that we will never understand or comprehend. That rod of divine wrath was lifted up and placed upon His Son. He endured hell upon the cross, child of God, that we would never go there. Christian today, Christ was forsaken by God, that we would never be forsaken. None of the ransomed ever knew. How deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through? Here He saved that soul which was lost. Consider sufferings today. Consider slanderings. Such contradiction of sinners. Constantly opposed. Preaching oft and ridiculed and attacked. Accused of being an impostor. Ridiculed when He saved the biggest of sinners in the community. Yet He persevered on and He endured under such slandering. This world is no friend to the Christian. And while we seek to be as friendly to those around us, we are instructed to live peaceably with all men.
that the Christian will never fully be accepted in this world. And we will be ridiculed. And there will be those who laugh at us, those who scoff at us. Consider his slandering. Realize how little we have to endure compared to what he had to endure. Consider Christ. Consider Christ today and all that he had to suffer. Before I close today, I must speak to those who are in this meeting without Jesus Christ. Because what I and what the Holy Spirit has been exhorting children of God to do, to look to Jesus, he exhorts you to do as well. Look unto me and be saved. Sinner, today you need to turn from your sin and you need to look to Jesus Christ. We were talking a few moments about the prize that is before the people of God. You don't have that assurance today. But praise God, you can. You can be saved today by a simple look of faith, trusting Jesus Christ, all that he is and all that he's done. Will you look to him today? Christian, child of God, do you feel weary? Feel like fainting? Feel like giving up in the Christian life? Well, here's a divine remedy. The God-given antidote, renew your affections. Love the Lord more. Refocus our attention on the Lord. Turn it away from those things that distress us. And turn it to Christ. And then remember the afflictions of the Lord. Consider him today. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. May God help us so to do.